English Across the Pond.
Hello, dear language learner, and welcome. This is English Across the Pond, a weekly podcast brought to you by two native speaker English language teachers. My name is Dan, and I'm one of the two. I come from England.
And I'm Jennifer from the United States.
Join us every Friday for a real conversation, lots of fun, lots of vocabulary, the latest expressions, and every chat is followed by a language focus. If you're serious about learning English, if you're learning English for a reason, you're full of passion, and you want to learn even faster, even more effectively, then become a member and get vocabulary, listening exercises, comprehension questions, transcript of everything we say, and the opportunity to get real feedback on your written and spoken English every week. Woo-hoo! Just go to englishacrossthepond.com/gold. That's www.englishacrossthepond.com/GOLD. Whew, we made it. So on with the show. Today we're talking about planning. Jennifer, are you a planner?
Me? A planner? What would ever give you that idea?
Stop looking at your plan and just talk to me, okay?
Do you think that's the like 75,000 Google documents we have open, all clearly with a different label for each topic idea that we want to discuss during meetings? I'm very much a planner, yes.
And this is not a, I don't think this is exactly the same question. How planned is your life?
Well, let's take it back a little bit. Mm. Let's take it back a little bit. In terms of life, when we talk about life, used to not be planned in terms of the everyday. Mm. I definitely was a big planner of obviously like my lessons, my curriculum, my job stuff that I would do, vacations, and you know, outside of everyday life things. My life, I used to not like plans because I felt they were like obligations that tied me down.
Wow.
And I didn't feel like free, right?
Yeah.
So one of the main reasons I even got into like teacherpreneurship and teaching and working for myself, right? Mm. The freedom to do whatever the beep I wanted to do. Mm. However, enter a baby.
Ah.
Ooh, my. Living life without a plan is rather tough. I have personally found with a child because if we never had any plans, I feel like we would never get anything done. So nowadays, our week has been pretty planned in terms of we have a day for family day. We have a time that I have time for myself. We have a time that my husband has time for himself. We have times for like all kinds of different stuff. Obviously, our son has a sleeping schedule, and that kind of routine just keeps the flow of everyday life smooth and consistent.
Beautiful. So taking, you know, just rolling with that a little bit, if you are kind of planning with regard to the family, then that is suddenly involving more than one person, which can make planning slightly more difficult. Next, what I'd like you to do for our listeners is explain what a control freak is.
So I contacted the dictionary and asked them to remove my picture from control freak because I thought it was a little bit insulting.
A bit rude? How rude?
No, a control freak is... So there's often the word freak attached with an adjective or a noun to describe somebody who is very intense with this thing. Mm-hmm. So there's a clean freak, somebody who has to have a place extremely clean and spick and span. There's a control freak, somebody who is always in control, or rather, who needs to always have control. And I honestly can say it's something that I've worked on for a long time. I think it's connected to just like being a perfectionist. And if we want to just get down to brass tacks, it's like, it's my sign. It's my horoscope sign. Ooh, I'm a Virgo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Virgos are known for being perfectionists and stuff. And whether you believe that or not, it's just part of my core, Dan. It's just who I am, okay?
I knew when I started mentioning control freaks, it would end up in like a flood of tears.
It's like you hit, you struck a chord with me, you know what I'm saying?
Well, but I mean, if, and you know, some people could easily be listening and say like, I think I'm a bit of a control freak, and I'm happy with that. You know, that's the way that I am.
Yes, you should definitely always be confident with who you are.
And
that's today's life lesson. Goodbye.
And somebody might be listening saying, I hate the fact that I feel like I'm a bit of a control freak. But can I, not to put you completely on the psychiatrist's couch here, but pointed out your star sign astrologically. What about like, were things when you were growing up, were things very planned as well? Do you think that you have somehow sort of the way that you are with regard to planning has been influenced by your upbringing, or you're completely different?
You know, I don't know. That's a really tough situation because I don't know if I've ever said this on the air, but I am just night and day to my siblings. So different. And then I would even say the three of us are also very different individually. And I'm not talking about like every child, every person is a unique individual. They're different. We are just drastically different between the three of us. However, my brother and my sister are a lot more closely aligned than I am. So I've always kind of felt like the black sheep. And I have joked around a lot with my parents, like, all right, guys, do you guys need to tell me anything? Let's real talk here. Joking, of course. Obviously, I'd never have thought I was sincerely adopted. But we have had talks like, why do you think we're so different? I've asked my parents, like, you guys didn't do anything different. And especially because I'm the middle child. It's not like I'm the youngest to where they, you know, oh, we've been here, we've done this twice already, and they just got a lot more relaxed. Or it's not like I was the oldest and I was raised with more strict rules. And I'm the middle. So it's like what they did, it's like they did one thing first, they changed it up the second time. And maybe they were like, oh, no, that didn't work. Let's go back to the first thing.
Yeah, scrap that. Know. Yeah, wow.
But I don't think it really was. But my mom has mentioned that I've always had high expectations, like for myself. I've always been just like a hard worker. I've always just been like curious and wanting to know and just understand. And I think that's a lot of control too. Like I've never been able to just like ask a question and they kind of give me one of those standard like blah 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 answers. I'd be like, well, but why? Well, what about that? Okay, well, why about that? And so maybe that has to do with like that need to know and control knowledge. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. I think you're right. That thirst for knowledge somehow, I'd not really thought of it, but if somebody wants to really know things, that is a kind of control thing, isn't it? In a way, they're related, aren't they?
I would say. I would think so, yeah.
Okay, you can get up off the couch now, same time next week.
Thank you, guys, and I will see you soon.
Yeah.
Dr. Dan, it's been great.
Now, to change things up a little bit, I want to know how you plan. Pen, paper, do you write things down, lists? What about using apps and things like that? Talk to me about your techniques, my friend.
I am old school.
Oh, yeah.
I love a pen and paper. I love a whiteboard. Like we use a whiteboard a lot for like family schedules and writing down my husband's schedule for the week. I kind of write down mine like, hey, Hubs, recording, you know, podcast meeting on this day. Or, you know, we kind of keep things planned on a whiteboard, easy to erase. We don't waste paper, you know, because it's something we do every week. But otherwise, I also love, I mentioned we have so many Google documents. I love Google Docs. and I use Google Docs a lot on my phone as an app. I will write notes and take notes on like the iPhone Notes app as well, and paper as well. So, but paper is just so tough because I really, really try to be conscious about waste. So yeah.
Yeah, but then, I mean, yes, but they do say that, like, actually physically writing something, you know, down does help, does aid your memory or helps your organization, as opposed to the strict confines of a Google Doc where you're forced into that straight line, you know. And there are apps, of course, that can apparently aid our memory and help us to plan. But, I prefer paper, I must say. Sorry, trees. It's my fault. Mm-hmm. Can I go back? Can I dig a little deeper into the whiteboard thing? Would that be okay?
Absolutely.
Where is it? in the kitchen?
No, it's actually in our hallway.
And is it up? It's not just something that just sits on the floor. It's up, is it?
Yeah, I actually grabbed a couple of nails and hammered it into the wall. But it's like a hook, so it kind of comes on and comes off. I'm staring at it right now, and it's sitting on the corner of my desk, but it's usually up there in our hallway because it's kind of right outside my office, right by my son's room. We walk by it all the time, so just kind of a reminder of like, oh, this is Jennifer's schedule. This is my husband's schedule. Oh, we're going to do this on this day. Kind of a reminder to keep things going. And also if I have this thing I have to do on this day, I kind of write it down rather than if my husband's at work, like sending him a text message, hey, by the way, this is coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
The whiteboard is something we always see.
But I'm curious, I can't really get a picture of how sort of, so is it actually literally divided into two? Or are there like literally like a calendar month on there? I mean,
it's a week calendar. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay, yeah.
On the top, there's a space to write like the week or the thing. There's a space to write notes. And then on the bottom of it, there's actually like a cork board where I could stick pins.
Of things. Oh, it's quite professional.
Never used that one, but yeah.
But actually, so sorry. When you said whiteboard, I envisaged just like a blank whiteboard, like as in a classroom.
Like a teacher, yeah. Mm. No, it's a little bit more, organized, my friend.
A little
friend.
Bit more profesh.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
It's just more helpful.
And does it work? Obviously, I mean, would you like to modify it at all? Does it do everything you want it to do?
Well, I will be honest that sometimes, depending on what's going on in the week, it will not be updated. So, you know, I'm not perfect.
No.
I'm not perfect, Dan. Take me off that pedestal, please. Jeez.
Try to.
And but it does really help a lot with creating time for ourselves and for our family. Because, you know, like you work, you and I do this podcast, which takes a lot of our personal time as well. And then you have a child, you have a wife, and you have a family, you have yourself. And it's really easy to get caught up in responsibilities and say like, oh, I just don't have time. I really want to do yoga today. I just don't have time because I really need to do X, Y, Z. But when you actually plan something, in my experience, when you write something down on a calendar or you actually physically block off time, it feels more real. It feels more like something you have to do. So you're usually more inclined to do it rather than if it's just kind of a random thought in your head. It's so easy to procrastinate or make an excuse about or push aside, you know?
But I think that also that random, the thing, let's say like yoga or going swimming or going to the gym, it almost, if you don't commit it somehow and make it sort of like you say, block it off or commit it somewhere in writing or commit it to paper or digitally, you can almost resent it. I think you can almost end up thinking, oh my God, there's that gym thing that just getting in my, you know, and then it becomes something that is intruding in your life. Actually, deep down, you want it to be part of your life, but you end up hating it because it's that thing that's like, oh God, I still haven't been to the gym. You know, it can end up being like, you can end up blaming the thing, whereas actually maybe you're planning. Does that make sense?
Totally. And yeah. kind of from, if I understood you correctly, what I had mentioned earlier about that obligation idea, when you like, sometimes when you have a plan for something, it feels like, ugh, I have to do it rather than I want to do it.
Yeah.
But I, life perspective.
But better to have to do it. I mean, better to want to do it and do it happily, but much better to have to do it than not do it at all. That's what we're saying, yeah?
I think Shakespeare said that.
Yeah, not as eloquently as me.
Of course not.
Yeah.
So I'm going to turn the tables around on you. I am stepping out of the spotlight. Yeah. Are you a planner?
Yeah. The thing is, I actually love to plan. I think planning is really sort of getting a like brain dump, getting ideas down, pulling these ideas together, putting them into some... Please don't ask me what I do with the plan, but I love to plan. I think it's really exciting. It kind of feels like preparing for battle or preparing for holiday. You know, it's exciting to plan. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do da-da-da-da-da. Everything's going to be good. And go to bed and think, yeah.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Cool. Is your family a planner? Do they accept these plans with open arms or what?
My plans are private.
Oh, God.
I'm joking. I mean, we try to, both my wife, well, my wife more so, she works kind of in a hotel. So her shifts are more like your husband's. Night times, evenings, afternoons, split shifts. So she's a bit all over the place. But yeah, we try to tie things in with each other wherever we can. But we tend to do that, I think, like more verbally. But then I note it into my phone with my Google calendar. I try to remember in that instant to actually to block that off, you know, to actually make a little note of it there and then. But yeah, we do pretty well, I think. And then Amy, our daughter being at school, she just kind of fits around things. She's 10, so she generally does whatever we say. How about, we're getting towards the end of our planning chat. What about, in your opinion, how planning fits into learning English?
Well, I think that it is very closely related to what we had mentioned about finding time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you are like most people learning English, you have a job, you have a family, you have children, you have your own personal interests in life, you have hobbies, maybe you're even going to school for something else, you know? Mm. So it's so easy to make the number one excuse for learning a language, I just don't have time.
Yeah.
But that's not true. If you want something, you will always, always, always find time.
Yeah.
And so for English learners, if they do create some kind of plan or schedule for learning, it could absolutely help them. And even if it's something as small as 30 minutes twice a week or 10 minutes four times a week or 5 minutes every single day. And 5 minutes is not that long. And that 5 minutes can be spent reading the vocabulary in our study plan. Mm. That 5 minutes can be spent doing our speaking practice, right? Like, you know, there's so many things you can do in 5 minutes. And quick little plug to our lessons, right? Mm. That is why we have also created these study plans for our learners, because it helps them save all of the time finding the materials, looking online for videos, figuring out what the goal is of that study, you know, topic. And so a lot of the times it's overwhelming to find something to learn. So we've created those study plans, right, to make it so easy. You just open up their inbox and boom, everything is right there for them to study for 5 minutes one day, for 30 minutes. And gorgeous. I think also creating a plan can give them definitely a more structured goal. And then when you have a structured goal, you're able to measure that goal as well, which is really important for feeling self-progress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. I have, this is just my theory and it's not backed by any science at all, but I believe that if a student studies for around an hour a week, and be that an hour in one day, or, you know, as we said, like 5 minutes here and there, making up an hour a week will keep you at the level you're at, and you won't regress, you won't go backwards with an hour a week. And any more on top of that hour a week is time that actually will advance your English. As I say, it's not proven, but I have been teaching a long time, and I think roughly around that kind of time, an hour a week really helps you to maintain the level you're at, which is really, really, really important. Yeah. To not lose your English, even if you haven't got time to push your English forward. If you do nothing, honestly, you'll start just slipping back down the mountain that took you so long to climb up. But I do think that anything past an hour, you're then actually making progress. That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that theory. Yeah, I think we can end it there. There's so many different ways we could go down, right?
I've got one more thing before we go. P-P-P-P-P.
Ooh. P, 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 P. Planning, purpose, present, passion.
Porcupine.
People. I don't know. What is it?
Proper planning prevents poor performance. I can't say it. I ruined it. Proper planning prevents poor performance.
I love it. And,
O-M-G.
You know, we could go back and edit all that out, right?
No way.
But this is just a proof that even language or even native speakers sometimes get a little tongue-tied. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, indeed we do. Fantastic chatting.
Love that quote.
Really interesting. Great. Thank you very much for your insight into your world of planning. Very, very interesting for me, and I'm sure our listeners as well. So thanks a lot.
Yes, thank you, everybody. And we'll see you soon.
Bye, bye, bye.
Bye.
Hello again. It's time for this week's language focus. And when I say this, it's going to sound a little bit strange, but, you know, stay with me. We are looking at the present simple for future events. Say what? That's right, dear listeners. We can, in English, use the present simple to talk about the future. And the way that we do this is timetabled or planned events. If, and I'm sure you are, familiar with the rules of the present simple, the simple present tense, then you'll know that one of the conditions is that something is always true. For example, Bangkok is the capital of Thailand. Beijing is the capital of China. And I'll stop. I could go on, but I'll stop. And timetabled events. By timetabled, we mean planned. For example, a train timetable. A timetabled event is always true, or, you know, 99% true. Of course, timetables change sometimes. For example, a winter timetable and a summer timetable. But generally, timetables are always true. So an example sentence or an example conversation discussion about the present simple thinking about the future would be, what time does the train leave tomorrow? And the train leaves tomorrow at 9 o'clock. It's much more natural to use this present simple sentence than to say, it will leave. If you're asked the question, what time does something happen tomorrow, or of course at the weekend, or next week, or next year, then if it's already planned and the expression is set in stone. If it's planned and confirmed and it won't change, then a present simple answer is much more natural than a future will answer or a present continuous answer. For example, what time is the party? The party will start at 7 o'clock, or the party is starting at 7 o'clock. Both of these are, of course, completely understandable, but it's much more natural to answer when you know that the future event is set in stone. It's not going to change. It's guaranteed. It's always true. Then you can use the present simple. A few more examples. I'm going to be late tomorrow because I have a yoga class at 9 o'clock. The film starts at 7:30, so we should probably get there about 7:15. Wednesdays are always the worst day for me because I have to study maths all day. So there are just a few examples. We are using the present simple to talk about the future. That's because these are timetabled events and they are kind of the way that we think of them is that they're always true. And if they're always true, even though we're talking about tomorrow and Saturday and next week and next year, it's more natural, more common to talk about these future events using the present simple tense. I would like to talk to you some more, but I have an appointment in 1 hour. Okay, bye.